と必死に何かなんだか知らねえが中央あたりの見せ場が知らねえが歌ねえけど村上歌ねえけど必死に必死に生きてる中身に幸運が姿の中身はどこから見ても日本人やで10年前の人生から立ち止まる君が見つかるし東京タワーの見える長屋に一人で住んでる森の出いた13時間どんなにいるか多分それは嘘だろう僕だねえけど村上必死に
back. It's the Dollar Boys.
Back to the future, baby.
It's been a long time, but we're here, right?
We're back. We're here, yeah.
Yeah.
We did
we
it.
We survived.
And we have a guest, a very special guest.
Howdy.
Our friend Brian
from Brian.
Milwaukee.
All right.
By way of Davis or
Sacramento.
Sacramento.
The greater Sacramento area.
Yep.
Yeah.
The greatest Sacramento area.
Well, thank you. There's not a better one.
Brian is not a completely random guest. I realized, actually, while I was eating dinner tonight, because he's contributed to Razor Cake multiple times, actually. He even did a cover interview within the last couple years. He interviewed Talk Beer and has reviewed... various videos and stuff, or maybe one video,
just one.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure I've seen you at Barf Space before at Daryl's place, right?
I don't think so.
No.
I've been down
to shows around here on a couple occasions, but not very often.
Oh, I see.
Oh, talking to the. Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
But maybe you saw Inui Trust at the Bike Oven.
Maybe.
So there is that possibility.
Yeah, that happened.
And but also, not only being a Razorkick contributor, Brian has experience with broadcasting from one of the West Coast's premier institutions of independent broadcasting, which would be
KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was like almost 10 years ago, but that was from the age of 15 to 24 or 5.
Wow, from 15 years old?
Yeah, yeah, they let people volunteer at the station that weren't college students.
Sick.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And then you just have access to that library, or?
That's like how I got into like a lot of the like cooler punk I found in my teens and shit.
Yeah, I mean, being that age and having access to unlimited fucking records is an absurd concept, really.
There's so much shit, and they'd have stuff that was like, oh, this is 1 out of 5 copies, which would usually be some like really out there noise type stuff that I wasn't particularly listening to anyway, but I'd like pull that record out and be like, oh, this is 1 out of 5 copies, I'm holding it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty wild.
Yeah. Cool station. Still around. Seems like they're doing great. I haven't kept up very close, but
I mean, man, it truly is. As far as all I can speak for is the West Coast, really, but for the West Coast, it is like ground zero of just like the most massive collection of fucking bizarre music that exists, probably.
I think I always heard it was the largest public music library in California, public in the sense that it's through the university, mm-hmm. and then the second largest library in the state after Dr. Demento's personal library.
Wow.
Was what I was told. Jesus. Don't ask me to verify that.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah, that was cool.
What could all those fucking records be?
There's a lot of records. I think about records, at least ones that the station had. Yeah. When I'm like thinking about a particular record, I go into this virtual like kind of doom sort of perspective world of the library and imagine where it's placed.
Jesus.
And that was the video game Doom that you're referencing. Yes, I get it now.
Not the UK Doom.
Yeah. No, but I can think, I know where the UK Doom record is in my mind. It's like right there, towards the end of that shelf.
Yeah, if your record library has a Doom record, then you win. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there was multiple.
We've been to KXLU, and I remember going through their library, and I'm like, a lot of stuff here that should be here that's not here.
how did KDVS prevent the shrinkage?
I don't know. I mean, records got stolen plenty, mm-hmm. and I mean CDs more often, but they did a good job at preventing that. I don't have an answer for that.
Did they patch you down every time?
No, I was the security director for a minute, and I don't remember. That was just like mostly hanging out, and then like, I guess if there's problems, I could look at the security cameras and figure out where a record went. I don't know. I don't think I did anything.
Wild.
I just had office hours, basically, as security guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a cop.
I never thought about that until I just started saying it, and then I was like, you might have heard my voice faltering as like I ended that sentence. I was realizing I was a cop for a moment.
Well, you're one of the good ones.
Thank you. You know, I'm a good apple. I was a good apple. Now I'm just a regular guy.
Better than that than a cop.
Yeah.
All right. So we started this one off with Gauze from Japan. The song is in Japanese, as well as the album title. And also, I'm not sure if the record label, it would be Triple X or XXX Records, but
Triple X is
an American label too, yeah. Right? So I don't think it's Triple X, but that would mean it might be XXX Records.
Yeah, we'll call it that.
And it's a Japanese only release, as I believe most of their records are initially just available only in Japan. I got this one at Under the Radar recently.
Cool.
Shout out to Tony. I asked him, is this any good? He's like, it's Gauze, of course it's good. Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's great. And we followed that up with...
This is a Boom Boom Kid European Tour 7-inch from their Euro Tour 2022, which, I mean, it's cool. It's like a
I can't believe this guy's still touring, man.
Non-stop. Everywhere. Every goddamn where.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a stenciled cover, but then like the labels and the the vinyl color match the artwork.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like very nice and pretty. Mm-hmm. And obviously the songs are cool and fun and enjoyable to listen to because it's Boom Boom Kid.
I have a few of his records because I think most of his stuff was pressed on or it was released on CD, like mostly.
For sure.
And a lot of the stuff that he did was like on vinyl has like something special to it. I think I have this one where they covered Richie Valens songs. So like the vinyl is like a really nice pink color that goes along with like a pink heart that they drew on the cover. Like, so yeah.
It's awesome.
Aesthetically pleasing. So that brings us to Ben.
Oh, I'm here today. Hey. Hi.
You're here straight from our footsies thing, right?
Oh, this is true. This is true. We did a footsies.
He hasn't changed since the gig.
We all got matching gold jackets for the event, and I'm wearing mine tonight. I thought we always wore the jackets.
I think only you agreed to that one.
I fell asleep in this jacket this week. I've been wearing the shit out of it.
Cool. Might as well get your money's worth. That.
I got to get all $40 worth, baby.
Where did this come from again?
Walmart.com.
Shout out to our sponsors at Walmart.com.
It's Daryl's idea.
yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was a good night.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, I'll play this song now then since we're talking about that. This song goes out to my friends Julian and Sarah, who were at the podcast. Julian played me this song. It's a great cover of 13 by Big Star by Magna Pop from the 90s. It's great.
Magna Pop.
Straight from the 90s.
Straight out of the 90s. Thank you, Julian.
Magna Pop.
Won't you let me walk you home from school? Won't you let me meet you at the pool? Maybe Friday there's a chance I'll get tickets for the dance, and I'll take you. Won't you tell your dad, get off my back? Tell him what we said about painted black.
And we're back.
We're back.
Hello. Hi.
Daryl, that was pretty groovy, that last.
Yep, that's the hot new release from this Florida group metal band called Last Bias.
Florida.
Which features our very own Mark Twistworthy, so shout out to Mark.
Hey, what's up, Mark? I think I sold him a t-shirt once. Did he ever live in
Austin?
Yes.
He did. I definitely did.
Sold him a t-shirt.
What t-shirt did he buy?
A Raining Sound t-shirt. It was a bright yellow.
Oh, the kids don't know shit. The kids
don't know shit t-shirt.
Yeah.
I bought that at Spaceland, back when it was called Spaceland, when it was... What's it called now?
Well, after Spaceland, it was called the Satellite, but now even the Satellite doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I think it's... I'm pretty sure that whole thing shut down, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, but... Yeah, they played there, and I bought that shirt, and they only had an extra large, and I couldn't fit into it, so I kept it and sold it to Mark.
Well, Mark...
We won't disclose the amount, but...
I hope you're enjoying your t-shirts.
Shout out to that t-shirt.
No, Mark's super fucking stoked on his new band. I've liked pretty much everything. Well, I've liked everything that I know Mark to participate in, but this is a kind of a departure, but I'm following him into the darkness for sure.
Cool. Is it, what other band, do we, are there any other bands that we might be familiar with?
The most recent ones, well, it was called Come and Get It.
Hmm.
Then they changed their name. Sorry, I don't remember what they changed the name to. But I played fun shows with them in Texas. And
oh, cool.
And Mark, if you're listening to this and you're pissed at me because I don't know what you changed your band name to, it's not my fault.
Take it up with Todd. Cool. before that, we played a band called Proto Cultura from... I'm pretty sure it's from Santa Ana, California, Orange County. The song is called Bomba Nuclear. It's on a self-release cassette that is out of print now. Came across this band, though, from some videos that were surfacing on, Instagram and all that. Or, you know, that one company. That one social media site. Anyway, the videos of a show they played recently in a fucking sewer with Lotion from New York City. And that show looked pretty fucking awesome. But I don't know that you could convince me to go into a sewer to watch a show because...
And you call yourself a punk.
I don't think it's an active sewer from the video.
It's just... I don't know. Maybe I'm claustrophobic. I don't know.
So disappointed in you.
I was. it's just. I don't know. So many things can go wrong, and I'm a weenie.
All right. First off, I gotta say, come and take it. Change their name to Bum Out. That was Mark's other band.
Cool.
And then, at one point, as teenagers out in Santa Clarita, we realized how to like walk around in the sewers. And we were just like...
How?
There was just one of them was like big enough that you could like walk in.
Okay, tight.
And at a certain point, we came across all this like graffiti that was like, fuck the jocks. anti-flag rules.
Oh, tight.
and then the main thing that got spray painted was the sewer rats. And then I remember being at a show... And this kid in a leather jacket had the sewer rats like written on the back of his leather jacket. And I was like, hey, are you those kids who are hanging on the sewer spray painting on everything? And it was him. It was definitely him.
Yeah. How many were there?
I think it was just that one kid, actually.
Sounds like the movie Grease or something.
It's like Grease meets the Ninja Turtles meets Suburbia.
You ever like read one of those like really sentimental like punk novels like Salad Days or
I, 7 Inch.
Yeah, man, I can't go on with this analogy. Anyways, it sounds like something out of fiction.
It's real.
It's tight.
So yeah. I'm not gonna go see a show in a sewer anytime soon.
We're gonna change that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it depends, I guess. Who is playing, I guess. I mean, maybe I would go see
The Raining Sound in a sewer.
Yeah, okay, you got me. I'll go. What did we listen to before that, Ryan?
That was Rhododendrons.
Say that again?
Rhododendrons. Like Rhododendron. The, yeah, like it's the flower, but not spelled plant. Like it. It's spelled Rhododendrons. It's, whereas the plant's spelled much differently. And that song... that song was called, and I don't know how to pronounce this, but Man Legeko Gera. I believe that's Indonesian. That's a new Chicago/Boston band featuring members of, that band I said it was members of. What was I talking about earlier?
God damn it.
I remember. Mock Execution.
Mock Execution, thank you.
I was about to say mutilated tongue. I don't know why.
That was it. Mock Execution from there Chicago. I did not need to think that hard about that. But that's some cool...
It's a theme. It's a theme we're playing on tonight.
Yeah, I'm high. I use that excuse a lot, but it's true. It applies. It's a cool new band I'm excited about. Put out on they got a cassette on Unlawful Assembly Records, which is a hot new Milwaukee label. I got a lot of nice things to say about. Might play another thing they put out later on. And that's what's up.
Unlawful Assembly.
Unlawful Assembly.
And we started that set off with Magnapop's cover of 13 by Big Star.
Shout out again to Julian. I love that cover. It was great.
And never mind.
It's great radio.
Someone was just... I was just talking to someone like... Okay, Art Enger, our contributor.
Oh, yeah, he was here a few days ago, right?
Yeah, and he was saying that... his friend had an older sister who was early 80s punk rock person, buying records, etc., going to shows, seeing these early 80s first wave hardcore bands, and then quickly got out of it and let him and let her younger brother and Art absorb all the records, and then she ended up being like Alex Chilton's last wife, who like was driving him to the hospital when he died or something.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy. And it was just like, what? You know? The person who was driving Alex Chilton to the hospital when he died. Like,
that's fucking crazy.
Really fucking bizarre.
That was my best friend in high school's mom claimed to be pen pals with Darby Crash and very close up until he died. And I don't know how much I believe that, but part of me still believes that.
Well, does she still have the letters?
There you go.
Probably not.
That would be the proof that you needed here.
I can't contact these people anymore. We don't really talk or anything.
Well, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Lady.
Lady.
That might be, are you opposed to being friends with this person anymore?
No. My old high school friend, we still talk occasionally, but not really often. I'm not going to reach her out of the blue and be like, what's up with your mom? Can I check out those letters?
Yeah.
I guess I'll be in town in a few days, so I could, if her mom still lives by my parents, I could probably, go knock.
I think you need to.
There's a story that her mom This is a complete digression. I hope you don't mind. But
Have you been paying attention?
Yeah, all right, right on. This is a good one, I think. Her mom, back in the day, her parents caught her on acid, and they sent her to the mental institute. It was the Napa State Mental Institution.
Holy shit.
And then my friend one day was at home watching the Cramps live at Napa State Mental Institute, and her mom walked in and broke down and cried.
Holy shit. But not because... I thought this story was going that she was like there and saw the cramps.
She could have been, but I think she might have just saw the hospital and was
triggered. And yeah.
Remembered a bunch of shit.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Fucking A.
Huh, that's a story about my old friend's mom.
So, where is that Napa State? So is it like between Sacramento and San Francisco?
I have no idea. I figured it was in Napa somewhere. You know, I've watched that video a bunch and read about it, and I never looked it up. I think I read about that in that Give Me Something Better book. It probably says where it is. That wasn't a helpful answer.
Yeah.
The internet, Daryl. The internet. You got a computer right there.
All right, what are we playing next?
That's a great question. I just saw Pat, Todd, and the Rank Outsiders. My band played with them. Thank you very much, Pat. It was a great night at a bowling alley. And in honor of that, I'm playing one of their songs. They're cool. Badass show. Go see them.
Bowling alley in the Valley?
Oh, yeah, it was in the Valley. It was a Corbin Bowl.
Nice.
Yeah, they
do. Do they have good food there?
You know, I went to get some food, and right when I walked up, he's like, I just closed, and he was making the last food, so I have no idea. But it looked very good, but I have no idea. I didn't go bowling.
You didn't bowl?
No.
You just did a rock.
Well,
bowling rock.
We were playing late, and then we were the last band, and then when...
You don't want to bowl before you play.
Yeah, I wanted to see the other bands. It was rude to bowl then, but then I finish and I'm like, could I bowl one game? And they're like, if you book it right now, I had to get all the gear, so I missed out on my bowling. But if anyone wants to go bowling, hit me up. You're listening. Anyway, I'll go to any bowling alley. Let's go.
In what distance? Like, if someone says I'm bowling in Minot, North Dakota.
I'm not going to Long Beach to bowl. So if it's like and I'm not going further north than Santa Clarita. Is there even a bowling alley out there?
Oh, dude, don't even get me started on the bowling alleys in Santa Clarita.
Oh, I'm going to ask you all about that, dude. We should go bowling out there.
Shrink as
we can. Yeah, we can, yeah.
Yeah. Here's a song.
Pat Todd.
Pat Todd, baby.
I would change my regret. way you want. Word's getting round that you're back in town. No one can save you on this side of town. It looks like you're back where you start, but everything's changed. No one looks the same. They won't save you on this side of town. Spend all your money rolling the dice. Snake eyes see through you under dim lights. And you get stuck on the wrong side of town. Too many faces that I've seen before. They wanna take me from this side of town. They all wanna know where you are. Speak like they're strangers, don't answer their calls. They won't save me on this side of town. Spend all your money rolling the dice. Snake eyes see through you under dim lights. And you get stuck on the wrong side of town.
And we're back.
All right.
That was The Prize from Australia somewhere with the track Wrong Side of Town.
Shit was hot.
That is some power pop perfection, in my opinion. Reminds me of what I love about, you know, the Busy Signals or the Conniption Fits or all those bands of the 2000s that have disappeared.
There's a little bit of a 90s vibe too, kind of, sort of. Like, I don't know, like that band. Like
Everclear?
No.
Nah, no, not that bad.
Okay. Not that bad.
In the good kind of 90s. Like, I don't know, like, what's that band? The one that...
The Wonders.
Sad Tomorrows?
The Wonders. Is it Oneaters?
The Oneaters. The Sad that's...
Yeah, that's the band with like,
that's they're not Don from the '90s.
No, I know they're not, but they have kind of like a similar kind of like they pop. have like a
Four that we played.
Oakland's Planet on a Cage, from the Boxed In.
A Planet on a Chain.
You know what? You're right. I'm sorry. Why did I write that?
I didn't mean to.
No. You're absolutely right.
I was going to let that slide by, and then I was like, no.
I'm glad you didn't. Okay. I probably.
We don't fuck around here. If you see something, say something.
And we would have written that out. We wouldn't have changed it on the website.
Well, it's because the other band was Cage, so it's confusing.
That's what I did. I fucked up. I'm glad that you caught that. Planet on a Chain. Like, I didn't fucking know that.
Oh, yeah, we've played this band.
We've played this already. Like, we played them twice on the same podcast. So, the song is called Boxed In from their brand new album called Boxed In of the same name on Revelation. Just came out last month. Great stuff. I was just thinking, like, listening. I took my dog for a walk before I came here, and I do something I never do, which is like, I never listen to music like on my phone with like earphones or anything. And you know how like lately everybody has those
the Bluetooth pods.
There you go.
Yeah,
the AirPods or whatever the fuck they're called. I don't
AirBud.
I don't have them, so I have. I was digging through one of my drawers and I found some old iPod, like you know,
the regular, the cable,
whatever they're called. AirPod. Like, there you go.
Headphones.
Pods, headphones. Yeah. But, you know, the earbuds. There you go. Earbuds. And I was listening to this record on my phone to pick out a song. And it's just like hearing everything, like, you know, up close in your ear. I was just like, man, it dawned on me. I was like, I think the singer of this band has, like, not been active. Or at least since Tear It Up. Hasn't been in any other bands, as far as I know.
I don't know if that's true.
But, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's crazy that the fact that, I mean, the last Tear It Up record came out, like, in 2003 or some shit. So it's, like, almost 20 years since the last recording that I know of that.
I didn't realize that was members of Tear It Up in plan.
One member. Oh. The singer from Tear It Up. I guess he lives in Oakland now. And but anyway, like 20 years and he's still fucking belting out some fucking crazy, crazy vocals on that record. It's like for sure already like going to be one of my top five if I actually follow through and do a top five this year. But yeah, great stuff.
There we go.
Nice. And
then we heard something just as good. What'd you play, bro?
What was that?
That was Caged Bastard from Tunisia. And they had a song there called Beyond Blue. They're a band from Tunisia. And they've been, they mostly play more heavy metal oriented stuff, but they have this one album, Straight Hate to God, from I want to say 2018, that is very much more power violence oriented. And they've been playing around there. I really don't know much about them specifically.
Do you know if they've made it into the U.S.?
No.
Okay.
I don't know if they've been out of Tunisia at all, but
well, that's cool.
They have played.
Well, tell us about your, like, travels in Africa.
Okay, I got shit to talk about this, too, because I got some shit to plug really. I'm trying to work on some things over there. I lived in Morocco a bunch, and then I went and got my master's degree in Moroccan history. I wrote some shit about the history of punk and metal in Morocco, and so, like, I'm hell into that shit, and it's tight. But I don't know what to tell you about that specifically. It's going on though. I just wrote a little thing on the metal scene over there. That's gonna be it's gonna be in a book on heavy metal in the global south, and I think it's coming out like right now. Like it might be like, I hope my neighbor like. Just watching my mail because my copy should be coming anytime now, but
what year did metal hit Tunisia or what's the
Morocco earliest? I don't know about Tunisia.
I'm sorry, Morocco
early 90s, like the first band formed in like 94. Cool. And so that was
what would have been their immediate influences, do you think?
It was death metal. It was they're very influenced by like the Gothenburg sound,
okay.
Like Swedish death metal from the early 90s, like Unleashed.
That's a very good like influence right there. That, I mean, because I was going to say, like, you know, sometimes, especially like with the kind of like international like stuff that I'm familiar with, like. For example, like, you know, Mexican punk and metal and hardcore, they are very much influenced by so many different things, but ultimately they just end up sounding kind of like I don't know, like Slayer, basically, you know? So it's like
that happens, yeah.
You know, it's like it's crazy to think that like the first band, like, you know, from Morocco was like influenced by like Entombed or something, you know.
That, yeah, a lot of Entombed was definitely mentioned a bit in my studying up on that. The first metal band was called Immortal Spirit, and their guitarist actually collaborated with on that piece I wrote for that book.
Nice.
Defiant Sounds is the name. It's edited by Nelson Veras Diaz, who's like a professor on like metal in Latin America at like University of Florida.
Shit.
But the other Moroccan thing I want to talk about is there's this cool fest coming up in May in Ouarzazate in the south in Morocco in the desert. It's this like kind of like anarcho hardcore fest that's been going on for probably about 10 years now, like 8 to 10 years. It's got to be. I'd have to look that up. But it started off like a hardcore fest, but it'd have like punk bands and like and metal bands and like rap and graffiti, and like they'd have like circus people doing performances and shit, and there's like squatting out in the desert and doing that, and it's got a lot of like hard left politics infused to it, like there's a lot of activists involved in it, and so right now I'm trying to book a show in Milwaukee because they're like trying to get some different like international or different shows going to help raise money for the upcoming festival that they're doing. So
great cause.
They hit me up and I was like, hey, I'll book a show in Milwaukee as a benefit and throw you some support in that. But I'd like to go to that fest someday. Still yeah. Have it.
Cool.
Can you think off the top of your head of some kind of way for people to donate who are listening to this to that the organizers of that fest?
Not off the top of my head, but I could at least tell you the name because I didn't even do that. The festival is called Ouarzazate. It's spelled Ouarzazate. And I think like their Instagram is Ouarzazate-crew, I believe. And you can find information on that. There's like, you can go on YouTube and stuff, and there's like footage of like old concerts, and they get punk bands from Spain and France to come out and would like to get bands from America and shit eventually, but it's kind
of... All right, fine, I'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, oh yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, I can give you people to talk to, you know, if you want to go over there and play that, they'd love it.
Dollar Boys will do a DJ set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're down. Once you get me pilled up enough to get on a plane.
But yeah, I forgot about...
Really?
Yeah. I haven't been on a plane in like 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Afraid?
A little, but it's just more been just like... I don't know. Yeah, maybe I am a little.
I think like 4 milligrams of Xanax and one beer will like be just perfect for like half of a flight.
You know,
you'd probably have to repeat that 2 or 3 times.
I think I had somebody, a friend of mine, ask me. They were going on a flight. I think they were going to Japan or South Korea or something, and they were like, "Do you know anybody who has Xanax?" And the guy that I thought I did not. So I guess apparently that's a thing, right?
Like, yeah, no, I've learned about this. Not myself. I'm not afraid of flights at all.
This is a great country song called Drunk on a Plane, and that's all.
Just check it out. Did you play that on here?
I wish, dude. I don't have the guts. Write
that song?
Dude, I wish. So, don't get me started. I'll play that shit and he'll be mad at me.
So what about it?
Beer's what made Milwaukee famous. I don't know what I was saying.
Oh yeah, that's true. Wait, how do we get here? But I'm drinking a Miller Lite
right
there. There's
Milwaukee beer right there.
There's this building downtown that's got this billboard on top of it, and it's the billboard's the top half of a can of Miller Lite, and so like you look at that and you think of the building as this giant Miller Lite, but they recently altered it so the can's slightly tilted. And it completely ruins the illusion. It bums me out every time I pass it now.
Wow.
So, the can design is of the like the current like black and white like gothic lettering.
It's been the same since forever. I think I've looked this up, and I don't think it's changed significantly since the 80s.
But because the can they like shifted about, I don't know, what, 8 years ago maybe?
Did they?
Huh.
Before that was what's known as the NASCAR Miller Lite can design. Shout out to Chris Terry who dubbed it that.
Wow, I'm about to look this
What's
up.
The difference now?
This is kind of like a retro...
this is the throwback.
Yeah, this is the throwback.
We're talking cans. I got a bottle here for the listeners. Yeah, they don't know what I'm talking about here.
Which is obviously much more aesthetically pleasing.
That blue can right there?
Right, like, I'm not going to, like, pay for that.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Wow.
I completely forgot about that. That was, you know what? I remember it tasting awful when I drank it out of that can, but now I mostly drink Miller Lite.
And it tastes delicious.
Yeah.
Out of that design.
It's like drinking like a White Claw that's beer flavored.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that they had that other old design till 2012.
Yeah. So I just didn't think of them as the same beer.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's crazy.
Yeah, because that was Miller Lite. This one only says Lite. But you call it Miller Lite because
they call that the Mandela effect. No, I'm just
but what are we playing next with?
Fuck! I literally hate being the person who's doing the lead in. I'm seeing it a different place next time. It's fine.
We can talk about it afterwards too.
We could. Maybe I'll surprise you, but I won't. Right.
Okay.
This is another band that I saw at a bowling alley. Why can't I remember that? Well, you'll hear it and we'll talk about it.
Let's go bowling.
Just edit this out somehow, Daryl. You got it. When I say edit out, he doesn't edit it. It's just so bad.
Mother sends you postcards. positive.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Anyone has the potential to be a Razor Cake contributor. If you don't see or hear what you'd like covered, lend us a helping hand. If you're knowledgeable about DIY punk, are open to the editing of your work, can meet deadlines, and follow instructions, we'll consider your contribution. Drop us a line at razorcake.org/contact. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to support what we do, please order a subscription to Razor Cake Magazine at razorcake.org/subscribe. Get 112 pages of DIY straight to your door every 2 months. Interviews, articles, comics, and reviews of bands that you definitely aren't going to find at the checkout lane, or even those fake indie websites. razorcake.org/subscribe. This podcast is supported by the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors. Through the Los Angeles County Department of Arts and Culture, any findings, opinions, or conclusions contained herein are not necessarily those of our grantor.
Brian, like, that was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
That was amazing. Good. You can't do it better than that. Man.
You
can't do it.
You know, I just I just realized it's like you worked for a radio station, right? Or,
yeah.
You did this for a living.
I did read all that stuff a lot for 10 years.
As someone who has had experience with like an actual radio station, how do you feel about like what we do? Like,
what are we doing wrong?
Well, can you give us some
advice? I can think about everything I was doing wrong for sure, because I was doing all the ums. But
all the ums.
All the umming left and right. You guys might have been too, but I was really like more focused on my flaws.
Give us a rating.
Are we radio or are we podcast?
We're 11 p.m.
Everything's
radio,
podcast
right?
Now.
What if we got a theme song? Is it making a radio song, show?
I didn't have a theme song on the radio though. If you had ads, not ads, but if you had like a PSA about using your bike light, you know, in there, and then like, you know, like a little bit for like the local Esperanto club, that'd really complete it, I think.
Like the language?
Yeah. I remember at KDVS there's an ad for like the Davis Esperanto club that was like probably like a 15-year-old ad in the club. I'm sure it didn't exist.
Wow. Interesting.
Well, the bike one seems pretty useful. You're going to play something for us that something we don't usually play, but
I got
it's cool. Like, I mean, I'm down with it. I mean, I personally really do like a lot of like what you would call like freestyle, like it'll disco, you know,
Italo disco. Yeah, that's like in the lineage for sure. Yeah,
for sure. Like, you know, like what's the other one? Like, what, you know,
the high energy.
There you go.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Like, I love that shit. It's like, because I don't think I've shared this story with like a lot of people like that I've that I'm close with, but maybe not here on the air. But at one point where I grew up when I was a kid, fucking like 7-8 years old. So this was like 1987, 1988. My dad used to let people who had just crossed over from Mexico stay at our house, because we had a pretty big house, and so we had these dudes that would stay with us, and like they had just, you know, like just gone into California, like LA, were looking for work, and my dad at the time was starting his business, and so a lot of times like, well, those guys ended up being like his workers and you know, his helpers, I should say. Anyway, so these dudes ended up like, because, you know, they were here, like they had nowhere to stay. My dad let them stay with us, and it's kind of not the best idea, I don't think, but those dudes ended up staying in a room with me and my, my older brother. And so we were like 7-9 years old, and these guys were like, maybe like 18, 19, 20 years old, kind of strangers, but my dad knew them, so he was okay with them, you know, sharing, I guess, the room with us. Anyway, these dudes played a lot of that kind of fucking music, like, and they would play it at all hours of the night. And so it's kind of like, even if I wanted to go to sleep, I couldn't, because these guys are playing music. But it's like, somehow that shit grew on me, and it for a long time I forgot about it, and then a long time it kind of just like flew under my radar. But then, of course, with the advent of YouTube and the internet, yeah, I was like, oh shit, of course I remember these songs. So, you know, so yeah, like you're playing something within that realm, right?
I'm playing something within that realm. We were talking about Debbie Deb earlier, but I got this other song that's not Debbie Deb. Oh. So, because I like to think this song kind of sounds a little pop punk in its own right, so I can call it a pop punk song. But that anecdote was great, though. This is Buffy, and the song is "Give Me a Reason," and a little freestyle for you.
What year would this be?
I'd have to look this up.
Go ahead. But so the name is Buffy. Buffy. And the song is called "Give Me a Reason." And no, I have never heard of this artist before.
I guess.
Do you have any records by them?
Yeah, this is that anecdote I guess I said earlier when we weren't on the microphones, which was I was at a thrift store recently and have like heard a freestyle through listening to like high energy and Italo disco and like early electronic music stuff. But I found this mix at this thrift store. It was called this DJ Tony Boom Boom Badea. Tears May Fall mix.
Shout out.
Yeah. And I couldn't find a lot of information. I eventually like did, and it was Tony Boom Boom Badea was a DJ at a radio station in Chicago run by the Chicago Boys and Girls Club. And it was the first radio station in the country operated by teenagers. And that mix was one of his playlists.
I kind of feel like every radio station should be run by teenagers.
Absolutely.
Once it's like a kind of a Logan's Run thing. After you're not a teenager, you're no longer allowed to control the radio stations.
Well, you think about radio's a sort of dying medium, sort of like totally. You know, antenna life television also, and it's like more and more catered towards older folks, like where if you watch antenna TV you see like ads that are totally for elderly folks. It's all like Life Alert type stuff, and instead we should just be handing the reins downwards in the opposite direction to teenagers to run these things as they become less relevant, and then you know so much less risk if they get high and fuck up the TV shows, you know, and like we you know just, a lot of swears come out or something.
Well, hopefully they'll do something, you know, constructive with it and not just post TikTok videos of themselves dancing.
I never consider that possibility, but you know, it's the but point whatever. Is, you know, it's you just fine. Let it go. It's just the antenna TV.
I guess, I guess you have to kind of just accept it for what it is, and if that's what they like, fuck it.
But yeah.
But also, thank you for pointing out the fact that I'm pretty old, because I do enjoy antenna TV.
Oh, I watch antenna TV.
And I listen to the radio pretty often.
I spent the first half of my day at my girlfriend's mom's house watching Family Feud on a channel that just plays Family Feud 24/7 on the antenna TV. So
nice.
Yeah, it was great.
I was just mentioning in the group, one of the group chats that we have, that
one of the group chats.
Yeah, there's a group. Well,
there's multiple ones.
Ben's in one, but we don't really contribute to that one too much.
Well, Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm in that one.
Well, I don't think I have your phone number. So.
Anyway, I mentioned that I've been watching nothing but Facts of Life reruns lately.
Oh,
because that's what's on antenna TV. You know.
Yeah, I like to fall asleep to the channel that just plays Forensic Files 24/7.
Psycho.
Dude, I've been thinking about starting a power violence band named Robert Stack. And then, like, you have, like, a bottomless supply of samples right there.
Oh, that's dude, true. Yeah, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'm 100% behind that. Cool, so we're going to listen to Buffy. What was the name of the song?
Give Me a Reason, and it's from 1996, by the way.
I think
it's from 90s. The Bay Area, because of the Golden Gate Bridge in the background of the cover art.
And what are you closing us out with, Juan?
We're going to play a song from a record that was on my want list for quite a couple of years. It was it's the Uranium Club from the Minneapolis Uranium Wonderful Club. Band. Great band.
Back to the Midwest.
So they did a Sub Pop singles, like 7-inch that you had to kind of like subscribe to. I think it was like $150, and then you got bunch of other crap, you know, and I just wanted that one Uranium Club record, so it kind of became elusive for a little while, and another label reissued it or repressed it or whatever.
I saw Uranium Club in Milwaukee twice.
They are amazing live.
I got that record at the show.
Yes, this is doesn't say okay. But this is a different pressing from the Sub Pop one. And it's called Two Things at Once, backed by The Same But Different. No. The song is called the 7-inch is called Two Things at Once. First song is called Different But the Same, which is the song I'm going to play. And the B-side is called The Same But Different. Yeah.
And always clever. Always.
All right. See you next time.
responsibility. For irresponsibility outweighs the benefits of our children's creativity. Gunshot wound.